Today, I am speaking with Dr. Willard P. Hudson at his home in Forest Hill on December 3rd, 1980.
We talked, you know, about different things and whatever. Could I start out by just asking you, where were you born?
I was born in Fairfield, Colorado.
And how did you come to Hartford County?
Well, my father, not as in the county, North Carolina, and he went away. And he met my mother in Fairfield, Colorado. And they were married, and I was born there. He was a blacksmith. He had the blacksmith shop there. And Fairfield was a mining town. 40 men of our London mine. But we together was one of the old mines in the country. Now, not the subject, not to operate the last couple of years. I was there in 1905. My father had the old estate back in North Carolina, and my mother was still alive. And things were getting a bit dull. So he thought he'd better go back. North Carolina. But we went back in 1905. At that time there were four children. Four brothers killed in the set of friends. And we became farmers. I lived on the farm there until I went away to college in 1916. Things were pretty ill for a while. Well, I'm a lot different now today. Of course, there's no automobile. And farming was not on a big scale because of the markets. But anyway, people make a living. And I had to walk 3 miles one way to school. There were no buses in those days. And so after graduating from high school, I went to University of North Carolina in 1916. Graduated in 21 because of the war. I lost 1 year. And I was a member of the class of 21. I mean, of 1920, 1916 to 20. But I didn't get to graduate in 21 because I lost a year. So after graduated from University of North Carolina, I went to the University of Pennsylvania. That was there in 1921. Graduated in 1925. I went to the University of Pennsylvania to St. Vincent's Hospital for an internship. 26, I began to look around for a place to park it. I happened to, well, that time there wasn't any dock in Forest Hill. And several people approached me about coming to Forest Hill. Well, I didn't know anything about it, right? When I came to Forest Hill, I started practicing in September 1926.
Let me stop you.
Well, are you on the back up?
No, you can just keep going.
Yeah. Well, finally I decided to start practicing in Harvard County, Forest Hill, particularly. And I started in the following year, September, October. The weather is a little bit different than I know. There were automobiles then, of course. And I had a Model T Ford. The roads were mostly mud roads. There were but a few paved roads in the county. The one that went through Jarrettsville, Amos, Pennsylvania, through Forest Hill, and then, of course, the road was all that went through Bel Air, around the Catholic Church. That was a long way around, because to go direct, you could save about a mile, but that road was so muddy. And nobody used it. So I got curious about it. I thought if I could see what it was like, I thought I'd make it. I'd go to Bel Air, a short route. Got about halfway and got in the mud hole. I had to go to walk through. The next farmhouse, get the man to bring his horses and pull me out of the mud. I never tried that again for a long time until I paved the road. Of course, the winter time, the roads were freed up. And they did pretty good. You just didn't mark up many miles. But the first year, that was the spring of 1927, it came a warm rain in January. And like we used to say in those days, the bottom went out of the road. And literally it did. I mean, the mud must have been 2 or 3 feet deep. It was impossible to get over a car. Well, I was drawn to it. And people would call me out to come see them. because they didn't want to bring their own cars out of the mud. And I'd get stuck in the box, and I'd have to get somebody to pull me out. It was pretty rough. That lasted so long. March. Found out that lasted about 4 weeks. And then, well, it got cold again, the roads froze up. But in March, it was the same thing. Come a warm spell, the road snowed, and the mud was impossible. At that time, I was fairly disgusted, but I can't spend my life in the mud. So I decided I'd have to appeal for it. But the weather cleared up, mud dried up, grass got green, the birds began to sing, and so things looked a lot different after the mud dried up in spring. And I've been there ever since. But fortunately, they began to put gravel on the road, and that was a big help. But it wasn't until later they did any extensive road building, like paving the road. Of course, now it's a different story.
Well, now, how did you set up your practice? I mean, what was it like to set up a practice here in town?
Well, I rented the house in Forest Hill. And started in it. It wasn't too bad. I mean, I still had quite a few patients coming in. The closest doctor was Bel Air, and that was 5 miles. And I got along reasonably well. And when you get busy, you forget about all these difficulties, you know.
What were did you have the routine kinds of doctors? Did you have the routine kinds of patients, or were there all kinds of?
All kinds. I was general practice. Specialists were rare in those days. They had to go to Baltimore. Four doctors in Bel Air. One at the County Fair near Hickory, that was about 3 miles away. Had one at Boston. And of course, Jarrettsville, that was 6 miles. Had a doctor. And even doctors from Delta came down there. I didn't mind going any great day, just apparently alone there.
Did you have to make many house calls?
Yeah, nearly all of them. At first it was nearly all my house though. Too much so, because a lot of those people call you when there wasn't anything wrong much, but I home ahead. And let you battle the mud. Well, they didn't want to come out of it. You had to get used to that. And try to circumvent it when you could.
Was it difficult, say in Forest Hill, was there great, what was the village like when you first came there?
No, it was very small. 200 or 300 people, I'd say, is all. That and the immediate surroundings. And the farm country. Yeah. There are no industries.
How were they, would they pay you sometimes in farm goods rather than money?
No, I didn't have too much trouble with that all. No, usually it paid. Those that were going to pay. And once in a while they'd give you a dozen eggs for the premium.
I thought maybe when you went out to get house calls, they would also give you lunch or dinner or something.
Well, yes, they would have, but I never, I didn't bank too much on that, so I took up too much time.
Well, what was, were you pretty, kept pretty busy being the doctor?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of course the Depression came along. And things got pretty slim. The funny thing is, when there's a depression, there's less sickness. Invariably. About 1933.
Was there, did you said that there was a sickness or there was no sickness?
Hmm?
There was no sickness during the Depression?
Well, there was less.
Oh.
I guess mainly because people didn't hard up, but didn't want to spend their money. Unless it's absolutely necessary. And naturally, I don't think there was as much sickness. Because I had less practice that 1 or 2 years than I did when I first started. Simply because, well, I hate to be too healthy.
Since a hospital was sort of far away, did you have to do a lot of, like, operations and kinds of things like that?
No. I did minor surgery, but that was a devil. All I did a few. Out in the country. Emergency, but not many.
Have you delivered a lot of babies?
Oh, yes, that kept me busy. Yeah, about 50 now.
Wow. Do you have something written up?
I guess just an outline, I don't know. Yeah, I did over 9,000 deliveries.
Mm. Did you see in today's thing how people say are going to the hospital in a taxi and ends up having to have a baby in a taxi? I guess had in the way of the country life around here, did you ever just almost not make it in time to help with the delivery?
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. Not much aching. And I get there, but too late. But here's everything went all right. Like I say, I just followed this for Carol. And I got this carcass. Oh, I delivered it again. And out of work, it got pretty hard. Beginning of World War II, 1940, I got on the staff at Church Home Hospital in Baltimore and did the deliveries there for 2 years. Of course, a lot of them went to Goat's Hospital, you know. And so 1942, that's quite a distance, so I began to wear me down, so I started my own little one, it turned out, so out in the day. And I operated that for 8 years. Well, the end of world, about the end of World War II, and things began to drop off again, so I discontinued, and I had other doctors on my staff, my brother from Fort down there, and Dr. DeLay, and Dr. Rodman, and one or two others. But I did most of them. So in that period of time, we did 1,600 deliveries there. Besides what I was doing on the outside. In 1947, I attended a meeting of the American Medical Association, Atlantic City, and they were just organizing the general practitioners, American Academy of General Practice. turned out to be very successful in doing that. And they required postgraduate work. 100 hours every 3 years. So I was a member then from 1970 when I was exempted from that. I'm still a member. Exempted from the postgraduate part of it. That's a very good thing. Now you know that the state requires so many hours postgraduate work a year to get your license. Our documents are necessary. But
how do you think that helps the physician profession?
Well, when it first started out, it helped because a lot of physicians never paid any attention to anything like that. Of course, it wasn't affecting me too much because I always followed my journal and the literature. You couldn't practice if you didn't. But there's assignments that didn't, so I think that was enough to bring them into line. But, now it's known as the American Academy of Family Practice. Same thing, but we've changed it a little bit. Of course, the medical societies have gone on. I was president of the Harford County Medical Society twice.
Now, what were they involved in doing? What was their organization for? What was that organization for?
That was the organization of the practical physicians. And of course we had papers read and postgraduate education. Yeah. And it was good to get together once a month. And we had fair attendance.
Okay. I would like to ask a little bit more about. Did you also sort of were involved in politics and things in Harford County a little bit, weren't you?
Oh yeah. I didn't run for any office or anything.
Uh-huh. How did you get involved in that? How did you get involved?
Well, I was precinct chairman. Two or 3 years or longer. I got tired of it. That was about the extent of the hill.
what were some of the people, who were some of the people you knew in the, when you came to Hester County? Who were some of the people you met? Is that where you go to for supplies when you need them?
Well, the ordinary thing. I think you get most anything you needed.
Were they still had a lot of horses when you came around?
Well, the horses began to disappear. Farmers began to use tractors. Because when we were running the tractor, we didn't take in a few horses during winter. Required a lot of feed. And of course, in the hand here, so now it's all machinery. Even down to these harvesting machines. They drive in the cornfield now and come out of the shovel corn. Used to, and when I first came around there, they cut the corn by hand, they shocked it, and then later on husked it, then hauled it into the barn. And if they wanted to sell corn, they had to sell it. Yeah, quite a lot of difference. Now, in those days, 20 or 30, the most, 50 acres of corn is all one farmer ever put out. Now they put out 100 acres or more.
Mm-hmm.
Because they grow corn now to sell. You see, in the dairy business, they use a lot of corn to feed the cow. I ran it through the machine, the ground it up and run it into the silos where it would keep all winter. And that was very good feed for milk cows. They still do that.
Did you ever take a hand in farming?
No. Since I lived on the farm from the time I went back to the house until I left for school, then it was the summertime.
While you were practicing medicine, did you ever have any epidemics or any kind of big cases of...
Yeah. I had one epidemic of diphtheria.
When was that?
Diphtheria.
When?
That was, about 1938, somewhere along the way. I had several cases of diphtheria. Two people died. I didn't believe anything.
What did you have to do with them?
Well, you had to get that diphtheria and talk to you. You had to recognize it early and give him the diphtheria toxin, and that took care of it. Now, of course, it ran on too long. We could give him the diphtheria toxin, but at that time, maybe the heart was damaged or something like that, you know. So, and along about that time, there was an epidemic of strep throat. Well, those days we didn't have any antibiotics. But most people recovered from that.
What did you use rather than antibiotics? What did you have to use rather than antibiotics?
Have to do what?
What did you use to treat those people with strep throat? What'd you have to do?
Well, just a commonplace thing. Something for fever, pain, and so forth. There was no specific remedy. Of course, in 1938, the sulfonylamide came out. The first sulfa drug.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big help. It would take care of most of the patients. Once it was 10 years after that, penicillin became in general use.
How would you get your medicine? Would you go to a pharmacy? Or?
Well, I usually knew what I wanted, and I'd order from the pharmaceutical houses where the manufacturer in much larger quantities. That way you got it cheaper. Sometimes I have the right prescription, something good to have.
Where would people be able to get it filled?
Drugstore.
Well, where were they?
They were in Bel Air. Yeah, there were three drugstores in Bel Air. My first store for them. Two of them are still surviving. Another were four.
Did you ever have any problems with polio?
Oh yeah, I had a few cases of polio. Of course, the polio vaccine came out, you know. That was a great help. I prevented a lot of it. But still, some people were careless and didn't have their children vaccinated. I had to have six polio shots.
I guess they didn't even vaccinate children when they started to school like they do
now. Yes, they have a new small platform first. And later on, of course, a bit sooner. The shops and up in car shops and the polio shops. So we gave all three in one shop for three or four shots.
Do you remember having to use the hospital for, you know, sending people for operations at this time?
Do I?
What was the hospital like?
Well, they were all right. Morning. I used mostly a Balmer hospital. They had one at Addergrass. But, and it was very handy. But anything serious, any major operations that they tend to be some of them.
What about when, do you remember when they started using ambulances and things?
That's a good question. There was no ambulance. I can eat it down this road. All the ambulance was sent was one from Cockettville. You know. And finally, another volunteer company, fire company was established. You know, I had to drive them all the way from Cockettville. That's over Walmart County.
What about your tools and things when you first began to start doctoring? Did you have your stethoscope and?
Oh yes, I got all that. I was well equipped for those days. Better equipped than average.
Were these things you had to buy yourself?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, did your medical school help you decide where you should go up and set up practice?
No. There was a lot of competition in those days. And so you just didn't know where to start.
Did you ever have to help, you know, were there a veterinarian around, or did you sometimes have to help with animals problems?
No, we had veterinarians. We had two.
Mm.
Two of them. And Harper there. Thank you. Willard's wife and mother. So she wanted, she called me, Mama, come over. She's a dog. Well, I said, number one, I'm not a veterinarian, but I'll see if I can accommodate you somewhere. So she was all upset. I went over there, of course, the dog was sick and lonesome. But I told her, I said, your dog is probably worse. Somewhere I got the idea that she's touched the top window and had some lonesome. And I said, you got to call her back there and see what kind of medicine you want to give your dog. And that was that. But the sore story of that is, in our small community, reports get garbled. So, the report came out that, Ms. Warner's dog had a convulsion. And her father, I'm a little bit ahead of the story. Her father, well, that's the grandson. Always brought the mail in about 5 o'clock, and she brought her mail in. And I was down train, about that time. How'd you hear about Mr. Van Sant? No. Well, he had a convulsion. And Ms. Warner, his daughter, called out the husband, and he went over and said it'd be the moon. The dog didn't even get an honorable mention. So you didn't ought to pay too much attention to what you heard. So somebody get it all garbled up. I rarely ever repeated anything I heard.
Were there any incidents that you had, you know, while you were treating your patients that was something of something out of the ordinary?
I had a man come in to Alabama born. That's part of the Bible. And then I went to a cattle group around there, and I drove them out, knocked them out. And when I came back, he was laying at a white horse cold. And then I pulled him out, but I think he's dead. So, he went back up to the house to phone for me. And the military came in with the page that he had to sign for. And he asked me if he wanted to go down with him to the barn. He didn't feel anxious, that's what John said. He said he had to take it easy on account of his heart. Well, I knew the old man. He didn't have a heart cold. So Jones and he goes down to the barn. And the girl was going out of the wine to sell them around to go down to the place. Where the stand was. So I got down there, this man took one look at him and fell off dead. So when I got there, the two of them did. Well, I didn't have much to do. Got the taste of the top and was falling. And now this is just keeping down. I think I know what's wrong, but it's a little calm down.
Did you make much use of the railway that went through Rochester?
No, that was what's called a milk train. It had a little passenger in the freight. So it was down a mile and a half a day, long pole, they call it. And it was just continuing several years ago. That was part of Memphis. But now it's a lot different than what I expected. Yeah, about 2 times a day. 2 people used to ride it from Bel Air to Baltimore. They ran from Baltimore to Pennsylvania there. And the morning train, and then about 10 o'clock in that evening, came the last train. We'd be there about 5 o'clock. Of course, they get the passengers trained off first, they work together. And then they pile up at the table. I just had to go ahead and haul things to go forward to Baltimore for 20 miles, I think, before the length of it. No, it's 20 miles.
they got a school in Forest Hill?
Well, they have schools, but they're so far away. That's just all right, though. This is a large school, I know. It's a small school. The people bought up and converted into regular schools. I know you're in a small, that long thing, I know it's pretty good size. You have to have a shoe for a bucket and so forth.
Several years ago, they had a proclamation, I believe, that was it your birthday that they proclaimed?
Oh, I forgot about that. That was 1973. And what was known as Dr. Hudson's Day. Well, there was about 1,500 people there at that time. I see the staff in Papa Moore Hospital in 1955. And that's the end of October 1973. Yeah, I'm that far.
Now, what did they do on that day?
Oh, they had speeches and. You know, the usual thing.
Well, that's sort of unusual.
Yeah, well, it was. It's only incidents I know happening in town, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of my people were there. All the people I delivered to them. Yeah, it was pretty rough sometimes. And during the war, I mentioned, I don't think I got out of it about 2 hours since night.
Now, why was that?
Well, I'm in the hospital. I'm in the park of this. I was bed because it took up at night. Well, you get a lot of odds and ends accidents. It's involved mine as well as practice. I used to do all my own practice. It's up to the operator type. When I'm up there, in the Hoffa County, the only X-ray machine in the county was down in Hoffa Moore Hospital. It's known as the Haverbrack Hospital. Oh, pretty hard to practice medicine without an X-ray. These factories and things. So I bought it. I'm going to put on an X-ray machine. And the end of the day, but the hill along front, let me tell you. Well, I ended up with rubber X-ray equipment. I first put on a small machine.
Busy, but did you ever have time to, what did you do for fun or recreation?
Well, I took a couple of weeks off once a year.
We didn't really cover why you decided to become a doctor.
Well, that's another point. My old college, I couldn't decide on just what I wanted to do.
Are you happy that you came to Forest Hill?
Well, might as well be. No, I didn't come here to stay.
Were you readily accepted since you were, you know, not from this area originally?
Oh, yeah. Well, I from the South. And there was a little prejudice for a while. But that thing is good. There's quite a bit of prejudice against the governor when I came here. But the people are in there. And it, that does not get in there.
Do you remember when you, in the early years when you got here, would you go into Bel Air? What kind of town was it like?
Well, it was about 1,500 people, I think. Suddenly, on the
seat. When you first got here, did you have all the modern things? Did you have electricity and telephone and all
that? No, we had telephone. Electric
cord. I guess some of the areas that you would go out to would not.
All the roads are all places in the house. All places in the house. Which roads, stuff like that. Yeah. But that's the way it makes a lot of difference.
Well, these people up here, would you say they're real rugged individualists? I mean, the farmers and all.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
What? Have you seen many changes in the sector of the farmers and things around here?
No. No one at all. No one at all. I don't put the old device on my phone. Of course, we don't have to. We don't got anything in it. We pay the buttons. And no business. But they're good managers. They can be independent. You know, I'm not going to pay money. Nowadays, we got a lot of iron to work.
Did you ever go out much to see the rocks up here at this park? Rock State Park?
Yeah, I know about it. I know. It's about the time of that.
What about your trip?
No, I'm talking to Peter. I'm not supposed to think. When I first started out, I had all the time I said to me, because everybody else had done things that, you know? And then I got bold and I didn't have any on Sunday night. My father had all the cows on Sunday, I never got to church. And Sunday was a busy day. I could have come just as well on Saturday. I can mention. So then I got on for a few years. I decided I deserved a day off a week. So I didn't take Wednesday off, but I didn't off. I got on Wednesday. Of course, a long time. It didn't amount to much because people seem to forget about that, caught up on something. Nothing out of emergency was worth enough. So if you stay there, you didn't see much peace, so you just had to get away someplace. And a telephone, of course. And of course, I got emergencies on Wednesday. I got a few Wednesdays that I didn't see some basic. Then I decided I got bolder. I decided to take some of those. I can go to church. But Sunday night, but I still have to sometimes for 2 months. And there it was.
Did everyone come? Without an appointment when you just found?
No, I got to have so much trouble with people coming to the back door and wanting something. Maybe people be in the waiting room and be full. And let these people come to the back door and want something. It's not matter. Well, that's nearly distracting me. So I got an appointment. Didn't have a plan, but I couldn't afford it. So I was in the market. And I worked out pretty well, cut out that back door still. Of course, I wasn't hearing the people that came to the waiting room. Of course, I imagine if I saw one or two, I imagine there's still a lot of people out there. I'll tell you about it in a few minutes or so.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get help, you know, with the patients, a nurse, or a receptionist help you?
Well, I had a good nurse. I mean, I had a good nurse that I had been with for 27 years. She's got a nurse. I'm very good. She always gives me a big help. Yeah, one time I took on another doctor here to help. That lasted about 2 years. But he decided to want to go somewhere else. So I got terrible nervous about it. And then I guess in the meantime, he was popping on to some of my good patients. He didn't hurt me yet.
How would you arrange your day when you had to go out?
Whatever.
How would you arrange to go out to see people out in their homes? I mean, would you take the morning and go to see them and then have afternoon hours in your
home? Well, that's all right.
Thank you.
I love you. Yeah, that's good.